You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. What to do with that empty big box store? It's a challenge for communities across the country. When one of these things closes, it leaves a huge abandoned building, an unused parking lot, some 40 acres just sitting there. Developers would often rather skip the cost and headache of knocking down the unwanted building and tearing out the parking lot, and they just build elsewhere. So a community is left with a big vacant building sitting there, sending off bad vibes that the area is hurting or isn't economically thriving. But writer Valerie Vandepan has uncovered some instances of very creative uses for empty big box stores. She's here via Skype to talk about it. Valerie, just what does an abandoned big box store do to a community?
Well, they bring down property values. They attract vandalism, crime. And they're just eyesores. They're unmaintained. They're just a severe blight anywhere where they sit there vacant. And often these buildings sit there vacant for years, if not decades.
So finding something to do with these behemoths is important. I'm thinking of an old builder's square near my house. It's now a real busy outpatient center for a hospital. Lots of traffic in and out. And you write in your story for nextcity.org, other big box stores have been used for schools. And then in your words, depressing municipal buildings or ICE detention facilities. Not lively.
No, and I think it's important to remember that these buildings are often built for a single purpose, right? They're built to be rather disposable, and they're built for box retail. And that means architecturally, they're not meant for anything else, really. So finding a way to creatively reuse them in a healthy way was really what I was looking for, because, you know, it's easy to say, oh, look, we're going to turn this Walmart into an ICE detention facility. And then you just build all these cages and you fill them with people. And that's not in any way healthy, nor is, for example, turning an empty Walmart into a Blue Cross Blue Shield call center.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
It's if it's a Meijer store, people, at least the retail associates get to move around. They're walking from department to department. But, you know, if you stick people in there, just fill the whole space with cubicles, there's no natural light. They're not moving. It can be really depressing.
Well, your story offers up some really interesting examples of ways that old big box stores are being used that actually help bring communities together. And we start in Michigan, in Greenville, northeast of Grand Rapids. What did they do there?
So this is a really cool story. Meijer is from Greenville, Michigan, and their first big box store ever was built in Greenville. And when Walmart came to town, Meijer moved their big box to the other side of town as well to compete with them and left their original big box store vacant. And it sat there vacant for 8 years. And they tried to sell it. They worked to redevelop it, but nothing manifested. So what Meijer did was they donated it to a church in Greenville. And the church then partnered with Rock City BMX and the BMX folks, it's a 501c3 nonprofit organization, all volunteers. They turned the empty Meijer store into a BMX indoor facility. So they brought in tons of dirt, built a huge dirt track, and now kids and families ride their BMX dirt bikes year-round in this facility. And they come from hundreds of miles away. They've come from Canada, Indiana, Ohio, to ride BMX bikes in the middle of, you know, November, December, January, February in Greenville, Michigan.
It's totally perfect. How does the church fit into this? Are they also doing things in this or working or reaching out to the people that come to visit to ride BMX?
Sure. So they actually have a food pantry and a sort of like a thrift store on the, I think it's the north or maybe it's the south end of the building. And they don't take up very much space, but they wanted to really establish both the thrift store and the food pantry. So rather than charge the BMX folks rent, they asked that group to pay the utilities for the whole building until they were able to get established. And now both the thrift store and the food pantry are established and self-sufficient. So the utilities for the building are split between the groups. It's totally nonprofit. Nobody's making any money on this. This is really just a a pure volunteer effort.
But for Greenville, they don't have this big, huge hole that's been sitting there empty for 8 years. It's bringing people, and it's something positive in this West Michigan community.
Oh, yeah. It's super cool. And, you know, it is bringing in people from all over Greenville, from all over West Michigan, and from all over really the region, including Canada. And, you know, kids are in there all weekend long riding their bikes on the track, like little kids, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old are learning how to BMX bike ride. And the families are in there, and it's really, really, really wonderful. And it's good to get exercise year round. It's really cool.
Seems everybody wins. You also found an old big box store in Kansas that was transformed into a mega church. And then in Indianapolis, a former mall with a bunch of old stores became an international marketplace. Tell us a little about both of those.
The International Marketplace is actually a whole area of Indianapolis, 2.5 square miles, that, you know, it had a Kroger and it had a Kmart and a Hobby Lobby and all of these chain stores, and they all closed. First the mall closed, and then all the chain stores just followed. So you had this whole, you know, 2.5 square miles of blight. And this woman, Mary Clark, she started working in 2005 to try to keep Walmart from leaving. Because to her, you know, the blight was an eyesore, and she didn't want any more of the big box stores to leave. And what ended up happening was immigrants started taking over the abandoned stores. And it turns out to be really like, you're in Indianapolis, but the Kroger is a discount store now, and the Lazy Boy Furniture is a Latino event center, and the Toys R Us is a science-focused charter school, and the Circuit City is a locally owned health club. So all of these big franchise boxes that were abandoned were taken over by the immigrant community. Now there's people from Thailand, Burma, Guatemala, Yemen, China, Mexico, Salvador, they're from all over the world, and they've brought their restaurants and their marketplace and their culture to this corner of Indianapolis. And it's super, super diverse and really, really exciting how all these different communities come together.
I loved it. You said 80 plus ethnic restaurants and more than 40 different groceries, bakeries, and markets. I love their motto, shrinking the globe and creating a village. And then in Kansas, this mega church is in an old big box store.
So part of the problem when you have these big box stores is they're often off of a highway or an expressway, right? So you exit and then you pull off into the complex and you shop and then you get back on the expressway and you leave. Well, that's what the case was for this church. It was in an old Pace, which if some people might remember, Pace was a precursor to Costco. And this particular location was bought by Walmart and turned into a Sam's Club, which didn't last very long. And it actually closed in the early 90s. And almost 20 years later, the church took it over, did a $6-point-something million renovation, and turned it into the Heartland Community Church. And, you know, again, when I said that these buildings are used for a single purpose, they really are. So in this case, this renovation entailed just removing huge chunks of concrete, installing glass, putting in skylights, building an atrium with live trees growing in it. They really just did a huge renovation to bring nature inside. And then coupled with that, they have two apartment complexes that are close to it, so they're able to integrate with a walkable community. And then the local regional transit system has their biggest stop is in front of the church, so commuters use the church parking lot to park and ride into Kansas City, Missouri, which Olathe, Kansas is a suburb of. And then to serve the commuters, the church has a coffee hour for them. So, you know, while you're waiting for the bus, you can go in and get a cup of coffee. And the architecture was well done to renovate it. And it's really cool to see.
When you think of the creative uses of these big old hulking buildings and that they're actually a vibrant force in the community, what lessons can other cities and towns with empty big box stores take away from these three developments?
The big lesson, I think, is knowing and understanding that these stores are blight and will become blight if a municipality doesn't have a plan for them. So these three examples are really the exception to the rule. And some municipalities are actually starting to pass laws and ordinances that require developers to have a plan when they leave the facility to either demolish and return the site to green field space. That's really probably an ideal scenario where the entire structure would be removed, recycled, repurposed, whatever, and then returned to green field. But that's also highly costly. Meijer, for its part, rarely closes a store, but when it does, it is committed to either redevelopment or returning the site to greenfield or preparing it for other kinds of development, which is super rare in big box industry. So I give Meijer a lot of credit for their thought on that. All of those issues aside, I think it's important to realize that you can have healthy repurposement that is good for community, that does integrate and bring people together. It just really takes some thought and some consideration and some commitment to it and some space to kind of think creatively and to let some cool things happen. I don't know a lot of people who would be very responsive if a potential tenant said, oh, hey, can I bring in a couple tons of dirt and put it in your building? But you know, if they're open to that, it can create something really, really cool.
Valerie Vandepan's story is in nextcity.org as you can explore these creative uses for abandoned big box stores in three communities. Valerie, it's always great talking with you. Thank you so much for being with us on Stateside.
Thanks for having me on, Cindy.